getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J.
He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching his damn.
Shoot the J.
You're tuned into another episode of Shoot the J Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Jenkins. Thank you for joining me. This week in the NBA has been nutty. It's been crazy. I got a chance to check out the Pelicans game. I was going to tune in live, my show out there, but, you know, just a lot of gray areas and stuff to take care of. But anyway, I'm back now, so got a chance to see Kawhi Leonard play the Anthony Davis-less Pelicans, so they put on a thrash in there, but that was just an experience. Nola was dope, but let's get right into NBA-wise. Now, the big thing that everybody's talking about right now is Russell Westbrook's, basically his reaction to everything that the fans said, basically saying that, you know, he said that the fan said that he should go get back on his knees and something like that, or like go back to when you were on your knees. Some mo stuff like that. Let me first address this. Russell Westbrook, you're the millionaire. Russell Westbrook, you're the NBA star. Russell Westbrook, you're one of the biggest stars in the NBA. Russell Westbrook, you play for one of the most, you know, socially conscious, diverse companies or organizations in the world. You gotta be smart. Pick your battles. Now, granted, you were fined $25,000, which is chump change. You probably got that in a sock somewhere in your house. But you gotta react differently. I get it, you're from California. I get it, you're a tough guy. Like, all these things make sense. I know you're about that life, Brody. Like, I know that's what you're about. But you have to pick your battles wisely. Like, you can't go back and forth with a fan. This is like, it's becoming a tendency now where Russell Westbrook is going back and forth with fans. Like, now don't get me wrong. Why do these fans feel privileged or obligated or have the gall to even, you know, say these certain things to athletes or you know, feel like their nerve to touch an athlete or to push an athlete or to even get in the athlete's face? Like what's, why do these fans feel entitled to do that? Now, granted, they're paying their hard-earned money, hundreds and thousands of dollars to watch these athletes perform. But at the same time, there's boundaries. Like, you can't overstep your boundaries. Like, I mean, granted, we all have jokes or things like that. Like D'Angelo Russell was at the line the other day and I forgot what team they playing. But anyway, the fans start challenging, "You're a snitch." Like, granted, that's below the belt because of, you know, knowing his history, but that's funny. Like, you know, like, we get it. Or, you know, Brandon Ingram was at the line and the crowd said, "LeBron's going to trade you." Like, so things like that are funny. They're edgy. They don't, you know, go over the line. But it seems like Russell Westbrook always finds a way to interact with the fans where he's cursing somebody out or getting crazy. Now, Russ, if it was man-to-man, one-on-one, you and that fan, I get it. Like, you're more than justified to be like, "Yo, bro, like this, don't play with this basketball thing. Like don't let it fool you. Like, these hands work too. Like, I don't just use them to shoot baskets and to, you know, drop dimes. Like, I'll give you these hands and drop you too." But once you say, "Yeah, I'll beat you and your wife," that, I was like, come on, bro. Like, what the wife do to you? Like, don't get crazy. Now, granted, I'm not giving the two fans a pass, because apparently some people dug up some things about their Facebook and their Twitter where they tweeted like racist things or said some crazy comments about Russell Westbrook in the past. So don't get me wrong, like, he's not justified with the way he handled it, but I understand why he would have that anger, because, like, yo, like, this is nutty. Like, why are you talking like that? Like, why do you feel like you can address me that way? Like, sit down with your wife, enjoy the game, watch the Thunder cook the Jazz, and go on about your business. So I think, like I said, from Russell Westbrook's perspective, you know, I get you were angry, you wear your heart on your sleeve, but you cannot act that way when you are the one with more to lose. You can't act that way when you're the NBA star. You can't act that way when, you know, you are basically like the example or like the face of your franchise. Like, it just doesn't work that way. Now, granted, I'm not giving a pass to someone who's not the face of your franchise. Like, you're like, there's no pass with how to interact with fans. But at the same time, you have to know, like, you have to balance it. And, you know, I had a debate with someone at work today. They was like, well, if I come to your place of business and I, you know, try and violate you or try and say something to you, how would that make you feel? I'm like, if you came to my job, said something crazy to me, it is my duty as like a human being to react. Like, that's just given. But at the same time, I have to know the time and place. Like, if you curse me out in the office and you don't work there, I know I can't retaliate because you don't work here. So you can say whatever you want to me and the reaction is going to be minimal. It's going to be, all right, get this guy out of here. Or, you know, like, I don't know who this guy is. Get the police. Or, you know, something minute. If you say something to me and you don't work there and I respond, then it's, well, John, you made the company look bad because you did this. John, you know, that's not the way we conduct ourselves in the workplace. Or, John, you know, like, I see the way you handle it, but it could have been this way or it could have been that way. And therefore, we have to suspend you or therefore, you know, we have to let you go because that's not the way we do things. So when you're the person who has more to lose, when you're the person who is in your office, your workplace, because the NBA floor, the arena is their workplace. These fans are just extras. But like, even if there were no fans in the stands, that basketball game has to happen. So the NBA hardwood floor is your office. You have to get, you know, have to have people respect it. That's why there's always, you know, people over the PA that say, you know, cursing and all these types of other foul language won't be accepted. You will be escorted from the building. You know, like, the authorities will have to get involved. Like, all types of things that protect the players. And that's been the biggest issue, honestly. Like, a lot of players feel like they're not being protected. A lot of players feel like, hey, like, I'm your product. You should be protecting me. Like, you should be protecting this product. Because God forbid one of these fans go crazy, or God forbid something crazy happens, you know, then it's on them. Now you don't have, you know, Russell Westbrook because somebody came on the floor. He had to protect himself. But then, or, you know, even worse, you have the, you know, the malice in the palace all over again because a fan decided to get whatever courage he had, say what he wanted to say, which he wouldn't say if they were outside the basketball ring. They wouldn't say in the streets. But for some reason, they felt protected. They felt, you know, they had the nerve enough to be like, I'm going to say this. And then when you get the wrong reaction out of a player, not only does the player look bad, but that situation looks bad too. Because now it's like, all right, well, that's how you're acting. Okay, now I'm going to file a lawsuit, which is what the Jazz fan did. Because as a result, from the altercation or whatever verbal communication they had, Russell Westbrook, like I said, was fined $25,000. Cool. The fan was ejected, and he's banned from the Jazz Arena. Now, that, I don't know if that stops him from, you know, going to a Thunder game. I don't know if that stops him from going to whatever other game. But I just know, you know, he can't go to the Jazz Arena. Which, one, for me, doesn't make any sense. Because the Jazz have already technically punished this fan. So there's no reason, like I said, there's no reason to punish Russell Westbrook, because it's like, hey, like, all right, this fan wasn't justified in what he did. You know, it's very disrespectful. Like, we have to protect our players. But like I was saying, there's an image that the NBA has to uphold. We can't have our players cursing out the fans. The fans put money in your pocket. The fans put money in the owner's pockets. The fan put, you know, money in different areas. How does that come off where I'm allowing my players to be like, all right, well, cool, like, see me in the parking lot, or F you and your wife, I'll be both y'all, like that can't happen. There's an image. Now, you know, like, we're far removed from, like, the bad boy image where, you know, there was fighting and fouls, things like that. Like, we've cleaned the game up, but I'll touch on that later with Serge Ibaka. But, yeah, like, Russ, you have to maintain your you know, your poise. Like, you have to know that this is not the situation. Like, I'm a hothead. Like, I know how this situation will make me act. So I have to be like, hey, man, I have more to lose. Now, like I said, $25,000 is nothing. That's, he probably has that, like I said, in a shoe somewhere, or he probably has like under his mattress. So it's a light punishment for something that could have been, you know, like a lot crazier. Because, like I said, we've seen players like Joakim Noah curse out the fans. We've seen, you know, players, you know, curse out fans numerous times and get 50,000 or 100,000 penalties. So, like I was saying, Russ, you have to know time and place, time and place. People who don't have anything to lose do not care. People who come in your space and say what they want to say with you know, with the thought and the protection that they think they have, like, that fan thought he was going to say what he said, and he obviously accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. He got a reaction out of you. Now, did he know it was going to be to the extent that you took it to? Did he know it was going to be the extent of him being escorted from the arena? Probably not. But I'm sure he was just trying to get in your head, like, hey, I'm a regular fan. Like, the Jazz are losing. I need to throw off the Thunder's best player. And his idea was, you know, I need to get in your head, which is what he did, to be honest. Like, fans have their ways of getting under player skins. But, like I said, Russ, you have to know. You have to know time and place. Like, it's a big thing now, because now, you know, players are feeling like they're not being respected, they're not being protected. And it's like, that's all, fans don't act like that. Like, fans say whatever they want. Fans are wild. Like, I saw the documentary of how Boston fans used to treat Bill Russell. Like, they said whatever they wanted. Like, they used to get crazy. If you watch Duke and North Carolina games now, they get crazy. Michigan State, like, these fans say whatever they want. Like, it's free game. They do their research. Like, they have, you know, like, little molds of, like, their best players' heads like this. Like, fans are no holds bar. It's a hardcore championship belt matchup. But being the bigger person, having more to lose, having that platform that you have, you can't react like that. And right after Russell Westbrook did his you know, whole spiel and his whole outburst, where did it end up? Bleacher Report, Shade Room, The Root, ESPN. House of Highlights. Like, it ended up in numerous platforms. It was like, yo, this guy really blacked right now. And it's like, it doesn't look good on him. It doesn't look good on the NBA as a whole. Because it's like, what? Granted, they're, like I said, they're very proactive. Like, they'll find a way to fix it. But they can't have Russell Westbrook having that, you know, that whole spiel. Because it doesn't work for the organization. It doesn't work for them. And it doesn't work for him in the long run. So, I mean, granted, like he said on the Mike K show, he has the ability to not give a F. He does not care what anybody thinks. He doesn't care about what anybody says. He's here to play basketball, go hard, try and win a championship, and that's it. But you have to take in consideration, Russ, that was not the way to handle it. Now, there's some people who may disagree with me, like, hey, I like his energy. I'd rather him do that more often. I'd rather players be more strong, be strong communicators on saying, yo, I don't like that. Don't do that. Get this guy out of here. Like, things like that. Like, people are on board for that. But like I said, people are paying their hard-earned money to watch you play the game of basketball. So, you know, like, granted, people in these arenas sell alcohol. So people get tipsy at these games as well. You have to take what they say with a grain of salt, play your game, and do what you have to do. Because 9 times out of 10, if it's not a conference game, you probably won't see this fan ever again. And even if you do, you're still getting paid millions of dollars. You're still doing you. Whatever they're saying is, they're miserable in their own life. Take what they say with a grain of salt. Like, don't stress about it. Don't trip about it. Like, don't overthink it to the point where it's like, yo, like, I gotta say something bad. I gotta respond. No, Russ. I went on to go for the win. Like, keep it that way. Like, don't lose sight of what the, you know, what the bigger picture was. That didn't make any sense to black on the guy. Because you cost yourself $25,000. You cost yourself, but you look very bad in the media right now. But it is what it is. That's Russ. Hothead Russ. But I could, like I said, I could dig it. I see why he did what he did. But you just got it. You have to learn time and place. You know, especially with arguing, things like that. And speaking of, you know, arguing, his former teammate, Serge Ibaka, I need Dana White to pull up and get Serge Ibaka in the ring, because this guy's fighting every year. 4 straight seasons, he was ejected for a fight. Now, granted, he's the Adrian Broner of the NBA, because he's had 4 fights, but no punches have landed. But it's asinine. Like, Serge, like, what's going on? Why are you always trying to shoot the fair one with somebody? Like, did something happen to you? Do you really miss Kerry Helston that much? Is it sinking in now that you're no longer together? So you're just teeing off on anybody? Like, Serge, you gotta do better. Yeah, you have to do better. I don't know if you're, you know, trying to go to UFC after your NBA career is over or what the plan is, but that plan is not it. Like, you teeing off on everybody, bro. Like, come on, Serge. You hemmed Marquise Chris up like he was your child. Like, you did to Marquise Chris what the Western Conference is doing to LeBron right now. Like, you choked it and tried to sun it for a moment. I'm just like, what the hell? Like, am I really watching Serge Ibaka like choke this guy out and then swing on him? Like, what the hell just happened in this game? So I was very confused. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I'm like, all right, well, I finished watching the NBA and now I'm watching WWE. Like, I really want to know when I change the channel. But it is what it is with that. You know, Raptors are kind of locked in being, you know, the great team that they are. I mean, they can win with or without Serge Ibaka. Like, it's not a problem for them. Does he bring them, you know, an edge on defense, bring them an edge on the floor? Yeah, sure. That's dope. Like, he does what he does. But let's leave the wrestling to the train entertainers over at WWE. Like, let's just leave it there so that all that works out for them. We don't need any bullies. We don't need anybody getting kicked out or anything, you know, crazy. All right, Serge, you're not on the Bad Boys Pistons. Like, get out your time machine. Come 2019. You're not in the 80s. Not in the 90s. Like, just keep it down a notch. Just reel it in. So, but I'm gonna stay in the Atlantic Division, talking about some bullies. So someone remind me next time when I go to the Knicks game to not ask James Dolan to sell the team. So apparently he got into a little altercation, but a verbal disagreement with the fan. The fan yelled at him and said, "Sell the team, Dolan. You suck," or "Sell the team. You know, you're not doing something right." And this fan received a lifetime ban from MSG, a lifetime ban, because he told the owner of the team to sell the Knicks. Now, granted, James Dolan has come out and said, you know, he's not selling, even though the rumors were selling earlier in the year. He's not selling. He's not, like, he's with the team. He's not quitting. Like, this is where he wants to be. And then he even hinted at this will be a, you know, a magical or a very prosperous summer for the Knicks. Now, if you are familiar with, you know, what's going on in sports today, the New York Giants have decided to do their best New York Knicks impersonation. So they got rid of Olivier Vernon. They got rid of Landon Collins. And the biggest fooey that we did today was they traded Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns for a first round, a third round, and some defensive back I don't even care about. I just know he's from Jersey, so I guess it all works out. He can come home. But the Giants, like I said, are doing their best New York Knicks impression, and I need the Knicks to stop tanking, because obviously I'm assuming that the Giants are tanking for Zion as well. But, like, with that situation, like, Knicks fans, like, when you have an owner like that, like, what makes you want to really support the team? It's like, the dude is kicking people out for telling him to sell the team. And not just kicking people out, he's banning them. Like, yo, get out of here, take your stuff, don't come back. Like, I would be hurt if I lived in New York and couldn't go to a Knicks game. Like, my face and my name was on a no-fly list to go to one of my favorite teams. Like, me and James Dolan will have to shoot the fair one. Like, we would really have to fight if you banned me from the most famous arena, the mecca of basketball, I can no longer come to. Now, James Dolan, Listen, this is my PSA. Do right by the Knicks this summer, man, because the season is finito. We're getting cooked. We're getting spanked. We have the worst record in the league. Keep it up. Do not change a thing. Get us that top draft pick. Draft someone good. Get us those two key free agents. This summer is the biggest summer for Knicks and Knicks fans following. Because if they botch it like they've done in the past, if they botch it and they don't get two key free agents, if they botch it and get the first overall pick and pick some bum, don't just leave it alone. Knicks fans unite. Knicks fans do not exist anymore. It'll be slow. Because that is a terrible way to go out. The worst way. The Knicks can only nick it up the way they know how. So those three key things are what lies to allow Knicks fans to keep their fandom, to keep their membership on the team. You need to knock it out the park with this draft pick. You need to knock it out the park with these two free agent signings. And you need to knock it out the park and hope that KP sucks. Hope that, who else would we give away? Yeah, just Kristaps Porzingis. Hopefully he sucks. Hopefully he tears another ACL, for all I care. But those are the main things we really have to worry about and knock out of the park. Like, that's, like, if anything else were to happen, I would be devastated. Just totally, like, hurt. Like, to the point where, you know, how Giants fans felt after they heard Odell Beckham Jr. was gone. Like, I'd be ready to cry and tear up. Simple. So we'll see. Knicks have what? Just over a month left of this terrible season. So basketball gods, put us out of our misery. Please, like, let's simulate the season to the end of season? I know that's a mode you can do in 2K. So hopefully we can do that. The season will go by fast, and we could just go from there. It'll be fun. So, but we're gonna take a quick break. When we get back, I'm gonna talk about a fan base who is so interesting yet so annoying. I'll let you decide who you think that is. But we'll get right into that on another episode of Shoot the J Podcast. Welcome back to Shoot the J Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Jenkins. Thanks for tuning in. Listen, you can catch Shoot the J Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You can catch it on Spotify. You can follow me on Shoot the J Podcast on Instagram. And you can follow my personal Instagram, the number 2WO_JAYZ. That's 2Js. Give me some ideas of what you want to hear me talk about. Let me know, you know, who you feel are some of your favorite teams that, you know, you want to hear addressed on the show. Let me know of some basketball topics that you want to hear about. We could talk about what Zion had for breakfast. I don't know, but I'm sure Bleacher Report or ESPN will pop it in the morning so we can go with that. But like I said, I appreciate everybody's continued support. Continue to subscribe, listen. Do however you want to do it. If you want to listen at the gym, if you want to listen on your way to work, if you want to listen right before you get into a heated sports debate with somebody, just check it out. Continue to listen. Continue to subscribe, and I really appreciate it. But let's get into this fan base I was telling you about. One of the worst fan bases in the league. One of the worst fan bases in the world, period. They're tied with Pats fans and Tom Brady fans. Let's talk about the L.A. Bronnies. Now, at first, I was going to say the Lakers fan base, which is very terrible, like extremely annoying fan base. But then I realized when LeBron came to the Lakers inherited an even more terrible fan base. So now I just decided I will call them, you know, they are the Mighty Morphin terrible fan Rangers. Like, it's like they are just the worst of the worst. So, first things first, let's talk about Bronny's not taking accountability for their king. Not my king, not your king, not the GOAT, not anybody's GOAT. LeBron James, his defense has taken a back seat this season. And all Bronny's are worried about is, well, you know, he's doing so much on offense. Why should he worry about defense? Because he's supposed to be the best player in the league. You're supposed to play both sides of the floor. Like I don't get, like, LeBron's supposed to play defense. He's supposed to be the leader on the team. And there's numerous times, you know, he's sat away from players on the bench. There's times where, you know, he's throwing players under the bus in interviews. Like, if you're distracted by little things, then, you know, the playoffs aren't for you or this team isn't for you. Like just getting crazy, trying to trade the whole team for Anthony Davis. Like, it didn't make any sense. And now the young players, you know, that he was around, he had another quote. He was like, well, I knew what I was getting myself into. Did you, LeBron? Could you have a tendency of going to younger teams and then flipping them and you know, making other things happen, i.e., the Cavs, after he left Miami, so everybody was getting older, went to the Cavs. Cavs had the number one pick, got rid of number one pick, got Kevin Love. What's going on there? Goes to the Lakers. He obviously saw, he wanted to see what rookie he could play with, what rookie could, you know, continue, you know, the legacy or whatever, you know, the sidekick legacy of LeBron. Ingram was easy trade bait. Kuzma was easy trade bait. Lonzo was easy trade bait. And at one point in time, they were all up on the trading block for Anthony Davis. And nothing happened. But my problem with the Bronnies is they don't see both sides of the spectrum. I get it. LeBron is a god to y'all. You guys will shine LeBron's shoes, shine LeBron's ball spot, shine LeBron's three rings that he has. I get it. That's cute. But what I'm saying is, see both sides of the spectrum. He's playing terrible defense. He's being very ball dominant. He's not making the young Lakers core better around him. But what are you guys worried about? Oh, he passed one little MJ on the scoring list, and now everybody's gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Now he's the GOAT because he has more points. Now he's the GOAT because he took less shots. Boy, he took more threes. The three wasn't prominent back then because Michael Jordan could take anybody to the rack who wanted to. Michael Jordan could spot up and hit from any spot on the floor. LeBron James is chucking up threes. LeBron James going to the free throw line, which is one of his biggest flaws. Like, hold your horses. LeBron James is good. He'll be the second greatest basketball player to ever touch the basketball. If you ever listen to my podcast, I will never change that opinion. It's locked in. You can bet somebody $5. You say, yo, would John say that LeBron James is the second greatest player to ever touch basketball in his podcast? And you would win $5 every show. Because I will remind you, I don't care if I'm talking about the Knicks. I don't care if I'm talking about the Atlanta Hawks. I don't care if I'm talking about the damn Denver Nuggets. I will find a way to reiterate to those listening or to whoever's listening that is a Bronny that LeBron James will always and forever be the second greatest basketball player to ever touch the basketball. Now, if for some divine reason that Kevin Durant comes to New York, gets them a championship, yeah, I just had a mini heart attack. That's what would happen. Like, that would be one of the craziest things to add to his resume. Because, like we all say, like, these championships don't matter. You went to the Warriors. Like, these are just to say you had one. These just to say, oh, I went on a date with this girl. You know, like, these are promise rings. Like, I promised to so-and-so, so-and-so. Like, so these are cute. Like, these are the cute little nuggets to have. But if you go to a team where you're the leader and you lead them to a finals, lead them to a championship, Kevin Durant, you have the ability of possibly getting on LeBron James' level. Now, I'm not going to be crazy and ask not to say he'll pass him because I'll lose half my audience by saying he'll pass him. But you could definitely be on the same level as him. Because the ring count would match. The MVPs, not so much. But the finals MVPs will match. All the things will go together. But, like I said, let's just finish piggybacking on the LA Bronnies. Because I remember I was on Facebook, I was on Instagram, and I made this post. I made a video saying that the Lakers are in trouble. It was early in the season, but the Lakers are in trouble because this is not the team that LeBron James wanted around him. And not that, that he didn't want them. This is not the typical roster that he has. It's LeBron James, a young rookie or whatever, or a crafty veteran. And then everything else is shooter. Shooter could line up in the corner. Shooter could line up on an elbow. Shooter could line up, you know, at the top of the key. Like, all these areas that where he was in Miami, he had. When he was in Cleveland, he had. He had shooters. He didn't have shooters in L.A. You know what people told me? They said, John, you don't know nothing. You don't know what you're talking about. LeBron James is the GOAT. He's going to make the players around him better, even if they weren't shooters before. I said, that's not how the NBA works. That's not even how life works. If you are terrible at something, I don't care who comes into the office. They're not going to change you that drastically. It's nice that you have that faith in him. It's nice that, you know, he's you guys' king or goat or Billy Club, whatever you want to call him. But LeBron James is not that type of player to make you, like, he'll make you hustle. Don't get me wrong. He'll make you, you know, want to elevate your game because you're playing with him. But as far as him making you better on the court, it's not happening. LeBron James doesn't do it. But the funny thing, the kicker that gets me is there was a time where, you know, LA Bron fans were making fun of Knicks fans. Like, oh, well, at least we're going to the playoffs. Well, at least, you know, we have a chance. You'll be watching from home. If you haven't noticed, heads up, Lakers fans, you guys aren't in the playoffs either. And you might not. You might not make the playoffs. So the couch is not, it's not a lazy boy. There's extra seats on it. So if you guys, you know, want to come on down and test the seat out, because you definitely will be watching the playoffs as well. Barring any major catastrophic crazy nonsense from the 8th and 9th seed now, because I know the Lakers are the 10th seed, but they're 5.5 games out. Barring any nonsense from those two teams as far as tanking wise or anything crazy, the Lakers won't make the playoffs. And the Lakers, in my all the time I've been living watching NBA, they are the first team I know who've gone from contenders to tanking in one season. I've never heard of a team like, okay, like they weren't doing good. They may not possibly make the playoffs. They shut down two of their rookies. Then they were thinking about shutting down LeBron. Then it was like, well, you know, if we lose enough games, like, we could probably fall into, you know, the lottery. Like, what the hell? Like, where was all that smoke? Where was all that energy when the Lakers were the second best team in the West? When the Lakers jumped the Rockets? When the Lakers were, you know, they got LeBron. They're automatically going to the finals. Where is that energy? Where is that smoke? Because I'm ready for it. I'm ready to extinguish it. I'm ready for all the smoke, because there was so much confidence between the Lakers and LeBron that it was foolish. Now, granted, a lot of people say, oh, well, before he got injured, they were the fifth seed. Yeah. And before I cut my hair, I had an afro. It doesn't matter. Like, what's the point of saying that? What are they right now? Because the Knicks won a championship before. That doesn't mean I was allowed to see it. Like, that means nothing now. They are possibly on the verge of not making the playoffs. So I need all the smoke. And to even contribute to their tanking ways, they signed Andre Ingram. So granted, you know, the story about Andre Ingram last year, one of the oldest G League players, came to the NBA on a 10-day contract. He played the final 2 weeks of the season, I believe. He dropped 19 points against the Rockets. So people were, like, pretty dope. It was like, yo, like, this guy's finally getting to live his dream. He in the NBA, very rare. Like, it's a very, 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 very tight fraternity first. So for him to get into that, score, have a great game, it was like, yo, like, he has to be guaranteed to come back. Like, it's only right. Now they shut down Lonzo Ball. They shut Brandon Ingram. Why not bring the feel-good story back out? Since LeBron James and the Lakers might not make the playoffs, let's bring Andre Ingram in to, you know, sell some tickets. Let's bring Andre Ingram in to, you know, tug on the heartstrings. Like, hey, you know, Lakers fans, it's a rough season, but we brought Andre Ingram back. Wrong Ingram, fool. We don't care. So Magic, the crazy thing is, they signed LeBron James, and they still have to go out and win the free agency next this summer coming up. So I don't understand how the Lakers are doing that, or how they plan on winning it. But that's none of my business. I don't care. The Lakers will be the Lakers. It is what it is. Like I said, I'm just flabbergasted because this is the first season I saw a team go from contender to tanking in one season. It didn't make any sense. But you know, hopefully they figure that out. Godspeed to the Lakers, because it sucks for them right now. But I want to talk about a former Laker. Yeah, he used to play for Lakers. So I didn't get into a heated discussion, but I was talking to a coworker of mine, and we were talking about, you know, some of the best six men to, you know, play in the league, and which one of them could possibly, you know, make the Hall of Fame. Because I'm dead set on believing that Jamal Crawford will be a third ballot Hall of Famer. Now, it sounds crazy. It sounds asinine. But, you know, like I said, he's a first three-time sixth man of the year. He leads. He has the most four-point plays in NBA history. He's up there. Well, he was a starter longer than Lou Will. But I'm sure he's up there as far as reserve scoring. So, yeah, and he's his longevity of the game. Like, he's passed Hall of Famers. Chris Bosh will be a Hall of Famer. He passed Grant Hill. He passed a couple elite players where it's like, yo, Jamal Crawford is where on the list? Like, oh, he's in the top 30? Like only longevity and only, you know, the consistency to be, you know, productive will allow you to do that. So, it's interesting. But I ranked my best or my top six men of the year. So in no particular order, you have to go with Lou Will. He has to be on that list. All-time leading scorer for bench players. Definitely have to have Jamal Crawford on there. Steph Curry's father, Del Curry, lands on that list. Just from his time in Charlotte, like we all know. Jamal Crawford, like I said, three-time six men of the year. So you had first ever, so you have to throw him on there. Tony Kukoc, his first couple years with the Bulls, came off the bench, was dogging. So he got him three rings from just, you know, being, basically he was, where he was from, he was referred to as like the Jordan of that country. So he came off the bench, did his thing. And last on the list is Def LaShrimp, because I believe he's a multi-time Sixth Man of the Year as well. Now, I'm sure there's some others. You could definitely, like I said, hit my Instagram, hit my Facebook. Just let me know, like, some other ones I may have missed. But those are, like, the five right now where it's just, like, they stand out. And those are, like, the top role bench players who, you know, succeeded and who are continue to have great success. And it just led to, you know, really, really good things for them and for their teams, for their careers. Now, the heated discussion was, well, which one of those guys are going to Hall of Fame? And I honestly, like I said, just because of Jamal Crawford's longevity, his place on the all-time scoring list, the most four-point plays ever in history, the first three-time Sixth Man of the Year, like, the NBA finds a way of accommodating and, you know, appreciating people who do things for the first time or who are, you know, the inaugural winners or something, or, you know, who set the trend to win something first. So, like I said, I think from all those guys, Jamal Crawford could definitely sneak in. But, you know, it's very tough for six men who, you know, are kind of not as prominent to get into the Hall. But it is what it is. We'll see. We'll see. We will definitely see. But I was checking out another news story. So Klay Thompson has been really weird. He said that it's the last go around at the Oracle, and he needs fans to be more supportive, be more loud. I said, Klay Thompson, do you know who your fans are? Because they probably only know you, Steph, and Draymond. Like, you gotta understand the fan base, Klay. Like, your fan base doesn't really know the rest of the team. So once you sit, once Steph sits, once KD sits, once Draymond Green sits, they're probably thinking now, who the hell am I cheering for? Because the four guys I know are on the bench. So you're not going to get a lot of fan support because some of your fans don't even know Baron Davis used to be on the Warriors. Some of your fans don't know Steven Jackson was on the Warriors. Like, you can't blame a bandwagon fan base. Like, it's the Oracle. Like, they know not because they have not. They've, like, they've been blessed with the team, with Steph, with you, with Katie, with Draymond, who've had constant success. Three championships. Like, the fans are just on it until the wheels fall off. But if you ask for support and just, like, have them name four Warriors that aren't you guys, they're going to fail drastically. Very drastically. So, you know, you don't know what you're asking for. You're like, yeah, we need more support at the Oracle. Some people in your fan base probably don't even know how to spell Oracle. They're probably Lakers fans who just decided, hey, I live in the Bay. I'm gonna go for the Warriors now because they're winning. Like, your fan base is trash. Like, it's not a real fan base. It's full of bandwagoners. So, of course, you're not going to have that same support as, you know, these diehard Knicks fans who know our team sucks, but we still pull up. Brooklyn Nets fans, team suck, but they still selling out the Barclays. Hawks fans, well, no, Hawks, the Phillips Arena is trash. That doesn't really get filled up. I'm trying to think, who else? Cavs fans, they're terrible, but they sell out a lot, too. Milwaukee, small market, but they sell out. Like, Clay, like know your market, man. Like, it's the Warriors. No, unless you were a real Warriors fan who was around from Will Chamberlain days, you're not a real Warriors fan. Like, you're just going through the motion. The Steph Currys look good on you, so you decided to buy a pair. Then he probably signed him, and he was like, wow, this is a cool guy. I'm going to follow his team. And the next thing you know, KD came there. So now you're one of those Bronnies who's like, well, when KD goes, I'm going. And then that's how it went. There were no true Warriors fans, because Warriors fans were upset when they kept Steph Curry instead of Monte Ellis. There are three Warriors fans who, if you're listening to this, were probably like, who's Monte Ellis? So, Clay, don't beat a dead horse. The reason why you guys don't have support is because you don't have a solid, real fan base. Like, everybody's just bandwagoners. So, enjoy the bandwagon. That's usually how it works, but it is what it is. But, yeah, so, anyway, just it's the Warriors. Like, I'm just baffled. Like, he was really, like, pressed. Like, yo, like, we don't have, like, they're not getting loud. Like the Oracle should be rocking. It's not rocking like he used to. I was like, because he used to have real fans. He used to have the most noisiest, popping arena in the world, and he didn't. So that's how the cookie crumbles. But we'll see what's up. But yeah. So like I was saying in the opening of the show, I'm going on this NBA tour. I'm hitting up different arenas. My first stop was the Smoothie King Center in NOLA. I'll be going to the Nets game. It'll be Dwayne Wade's last game. So I'm going to the Nets game when they play Miami Heat. Like I said, the last dance, that's where it ends. I mean, Miami Heat might make the playoffs, so, you know, it could possibly continue, but it'll be his last regular season game. I'll probably catch a Knicks game, but I'll just wear a muzzle so I don't tell James Dolan to sell the team. There's some Philly games I probably want to hit, some Boston games. So, you know, the NBA tour is going to start light on the East Coast. You know, I was just fortunate enough for work to be in New Orleans, but yeah, so, you know, just let me know. I'll definitely, you know, have some pictures, have some games. I'll talk about some things that you want me to cover at the time, but that's the plan. Trying to hit all 30 arenas, you know, just cause, you know, out of a pure sports fan, a pure basketball fan, like you owe it to yourself to, you know, get the best experience with basketball. So, you know, with my job now, I have the opportunity to go to different college arenas. So that's fun. You know, I was just at Tulane the other day. So that's why I was able to catch the New Orleans games. I've been to Seton Hall. I've been to Temple. Like, all these teams and, you know, these prestigious conferences have been so cool, so dope. So I'm enjoying, you know, the travel and things like that. But I really want to focus on an NBA tour, hitting different arenas, checking out the cities, checking out, you know, just the historic aspect of it. So, you know, we'll definitely go from there. Should be fun. Like I said, thank you for everybody who tuned in to Shoot the J podcast. Continue subscribing. Continue to show love. Like I said, if you want to listen. You can listen on iTunes. You can listen on Google Play. You can listen on Spotify. You can follow me on Instagram at Shoot the J Podcast. You can also follow my personal page, the number 2WO_JAYZ. That's two J's. But like I said, I appreciate everybody. Continue listening. Continue subscribing. Let me know if there's anything else you want to hear me talk about. Any other fan bases you want me to just tear into. Because the LeBronis got today. Now, I'm not going to do them again next week. Like, so you let me know if there's another fan base who's just like, yo, like, you know who I can't stand? I can't stand the Knicks fan base. And if you really can't stand the Knicks fan base, then I will rip the Knicks fan base to shreds. And then we'll go on. Like, I'll find different fan bases who I will, tear them a new one. But like I said, until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been an episode of Shoot the J Podcast.